Good morning, a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, police clash with protesters for a second night in the Minneapolis suburb where a police officer fatally shot a black man in a traffic stop over the weekend. The town's police chief said the officer had apparently intended to fire a taser, not a handgun. As 20-year-old Dante Wright struggled with fellow officers, police chief Tim Gannon described the shooting as an accidental discharge. His death sparked protest and unrest, even a curfew. The Minneapolis area was already on edge because the trial, of course, of the police officer Derek Chauvin, charged with the murder of George Floyd, is in its third week. Defense about to take a turn in the trial, as we heard from Floyd's brother yesterday. Your thoughts this morning as Minneapolis is in a tense spot right now?
Well, David, first of all, this is not an area where you can make a mistake, a gun instead of a taser. Think about that. Do we allow doctors, they make mistakes, but do we allow trained cardiologists, for example, to say, oh, I thought it was the liver when it was his heart? We don't do it. There can be no exceptions here because we are talking about a human life. You know, you can project yourself into the officer's place. You can say, this is too bad. She should have known better. But in fact, you just can't justify it. The training has to be so absolute that mistakes like this just can't be made. You reach down there, you've got to know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, if you shoot somebody by mistake, it's intolerable. Now, in terms of the trial, we do know that Floyd is gone. He's dead. And we know in that case, it wasn't somebody pulling out the wrong weapon. It was somebody leaning on his neck. And if Chauvin, the ex-policeman who did it, gets off, and there's a chance that somebody among those 12 will sit on a jury and say, I'm not going to vote for convicting a policeman. And, you know, it's the job of the defense, which is coming up, to give any kind of explanation, whether it's the drugs that they found in the system, whether it's heart disease, whatever it is, which, by the way, they had a cardiologist talking about yesterday. It is not. It just becomes an excuse. And if that excuse resonates with one person on that jury, you'll be faced with a do-over trial. So we're all sitting on pins and needles. We're all worried about what's going to happen here. The prosecutors obviously gave the jurors a whole range of choices. If they're going to convict, they can convict on a sort of major charge, or they can convict on a relatively minor charge. So that's where we are.
And as you alluded to, if the police officer does get off, that ripple effect will go far beyond Minneapolis, I'm guessing.
No question. Look, we know from the Floyd death that there were protests not only in the state, not only in the country, but internationally there were protests. So black lives do matter. It is a truth in American policing that if you're driving while black, if you do everything that they tell you to, like that army officer putting his hands out the window so that they could see his hand, so that there could be no mistake, if you do everything that you're told, you're still going to be pulled over in many more cases. He had the license in the back of his window, his license plate. The excuse was not there. He did everything right. He moved to the lighted gas station. This is something that is endemic in this country, and if it doesn't stop, we're going to see much more of this.
President Joe Biden called a handful of lawmakers to the White House Monday, Alan, to talk about infrastructure for nearly 2 hours, the latest phase of his charm offensive embarked upon as Congress returns from its recess and turns to the chore of grinding out an actual bill. And even though Biden apparently said the right things during Monday's bipartisan Oval Office confab, Republican opposition says Politico this morning to fundamental aspects of his more than $2 trillion infrastructure proposal is continuing to harden, making substantive compromise look unlikely. Here we go again.
Well, it does depend. I mean, here are the American people who obviously want infrastructure repair, and they should. Here in the little town of Great Barrington, I'm still waiting for those bridges to get repaired, and I have a feeling I'm going to be waiting a lot longer. But in any case, he brings them into the White House, and he says, I'm willing to make compromise. I think that it is clear that if there is a compromise, it's going to be on two levels. One of them, and this is the most important to the Republicans, is how you pay for it. their corporate masters, the people who are paying little or no taxes too often, are sending out their K Street lobbyists, that's for sure. So there is the question of how you pay for it. The second issue is what is covered in the bill. Now, it seems to me that Biden has asked for a great deal, much of which you might say could be covered in separate legislation. So Biden puts on the table a huge bill, and he says, come on, let's talk, I'll compromise. And they, the Republicans, have a choice. They can do what their Trumpian master wants them to and give him no credit and not allow for infrastructure repair in the United States, even though the past president, if you can call him that, wanted infrastructure repair. No, if it is a Democratic proposal, we're not going to vote for it. That's a disgrace. And I think in some marginal cases, that will work against some of the people who are running for political office and for the Senate on the Republican ticket. It will hurt them. So Biden has done what he should. He has said, I'm willing to compromise. Let's talk. And some of them are saying no. Some of them are saying, well, we'll think about it.
So were you suggesting that the unwillingness to compromise could hurt Republicans in the midterms?
It could. It depends on the severity of the infrastructure repairs that need to be done in a particular place, a particular state. But if you're like me in the town of Great Barrington, Massachusetts of all places, you wonder why in the world you can't have your essential bridges so that businesses like our wonderful Taft Farms here in Great Barrington are not hurt. It is a disgrace that bridges go out and that they're not fixed. I pay my taxes and they are relatively high, although not Scarsdale, and I want the government to function. It is not, and infrastructure repair is a big part of that.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us.